Hey, good morning, guys. It's Talia, the Talia Like It Is show part two on Freedomizer Radio. Thanks for those who listened in yesterday. I got some great feedback. Most of the feedback was that there were some problems listening in, calling in. So apparently there's a buffer if you use the website. I don't know what was happening yesterday. Maybe it's because they were adding new shows. But regardless, the phone number should work if you want to listen in. So, some of you are probably doing right now. The number here is 319-527-6208. If you have a smartphone or an iPad, you can listen in. I guess you could hook this up through your car and it could play there as well. Also, 15 minutes after every episode is finished, there will be a link on the actual freedomizerradio.com website. So you can always listen in later. Sorry to those that were really trying to plug in yesterday and didn't really have any luck. I do appreciate the ones who went back in and were able to access it later on in the evening. That means a lot. You guys have a lot of patience because I know that I would also be like, okay, this is not working, and just log off. Today we are going to be having, I'm going to have my first call in, a little bit of a guest host today. Her name is Naomi. I knew her, oh my gosh, I've known Naomi for, I want to say, over 10 years at this point. We met in California. And before having children, and now that we both have our three kids, she was one of the first moms that. Let me go ahead and unhold here. Okay. Naomi was one of the first moms that I knew of that actually had to speak out about, you know, vaccines, even though it was such a taboo subject back then. And it was just funny. We had this connection where we just never cared what other people thought. I'm going to dial her right now. Naomi, are you there?
I'm here, baby.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. I want to give you kisses and squeezes right now. And props to Talia Like It Is and her live radio show.
I miss you.
I miss you more.
I miss you. You're currently in the middle of the woods, but that's your backyard right now.
It doesn't all belong to us. Although Hannah did think that when we first moved here. She said, "Mommy, why are these people in our woods?" I was like, "It's not our woods, babe." But, you know, it's great because it's a reserve. I have this, like, draw to the land, and I really believe that we kind of end up where we're meant to be. And I come out here, and it's, like, ancient. I mean, these trees are so tall, like native days. It's, like, teepee-looking stuff. And we play Wonderland and Peter Pan out here and all the fun stuff. So, good. Peaceful.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you were showing me pictures, and it just, but your property space is already pretty big, and then there is the woods spot where you can access. Okay.
Yeah.
And like a lake
big.
And all
it's
of
actually
that.
It's actually too big. It's a little too big, to tell you the truth. But, you know this, I got my little tiny house on RV wheels, which is like a sort of one of those instant manifestation things when it was time. And I'll be moving into my little, on my driveway, my little tiny home cabin in the woods and a compost toilet and all. You know, I'm going super, super Oregon human here.
I mean, I got to make a trip out there soon and seriously witness all of this for myself.
I
was just blown away by the treehouse. I know, gosh, traveling with three kids. Well, you have more practice than me, but as I was prefacing with this, I was telling them that Naomi She was definitely one of the first moms that would come out and speak against this. And it was so, I mean, it's unpopular now, but it was like really unpopular.
Right.
I mean,
oh
like crickets unpopular, like when we were talking about it. I mean,
you
and I
would
post
Dell
stuff.
Ever saw our rebuttal? Like, do you think she ever saw it? I'm just, I don't know. We never know.
I don't know. That post did go viral for quite some time.
It did.
But I feel
what
though,
was it like you texted
would...
me like 5,000 hits in week one or something like that. And then I think we saw it on like the blog, like the holistic doctor, like there was a number of different Facebook pages
Living
that were...
Whole, which we Living Whole was a good one. They promoted it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find really it's crazy to think about it now because we were writing this April of 2015. And that was when SB 277 was being proposed. We were warning everybody then, and a lot of our friends thought we were just crazy paranoid. And you know, as of the midterms on, you know, 2 days ago, Senator Pan won again in California.
So it's
getting progressively worse, right? I feel like you called it.
Yeah.
They got rid of religious exempts, and you're like, well, whatever, we're going to go after medical next. And they're threatening doctors at this point. So, well, anyway, I know that you've wanted to get out of California for quite some time. I know I left, and like within a year you left. Tell me, I guess, what made you choose Oregon? Like, because there's right now a lot of parents who are in California
wanting
and
to leave,
like New York.
Yeah.
And they're I think they're noticing that the corruption is running deep and they need to make moves because their government is not taking care of them and doesn't care.
Right. Because does your body
prompted Oregon
to the state, right?
So why
don't
you
know what
tell
it
me
is,
about that?
Is like so we well, first of all, David, you know, he's a native to Oregon and I think before we even had kids, it was kind of like this is where we knew we wanted to raise them. So it was kind of like already, I would say, like years ago before even having Hannah. And then, of course, having Hannah and going back to this whole vaccine thing, right? I mean, here's the deal. And any parent who's tuning into this, because, look, we all love our kids equally. This isn't – and, Tali, I think you – back to that blog we had initially wrote together, you put it perfectly when you're like, this is not a war. This isn't about like let's keep the focus on where it belongs. It's informed consent. Nobody is judging any parent for what we didn't know and what we weren't told by our doctors and our, you know, we have to keep the focus on where it belongs because like we saw with the food industry, when we started demanding labels because we all wanted to know that there weren't, or at least those who cared didn't want GMOs or things in the food. Well, you get to decide that. Like, we drink wine. We drink alcohol sometimes. That's the body, but at least we know what we're putting in our body. So it's not to say, and this is totally different, right? Like, with vaccines, here's the deal. There are manufacturers making, or like, green vaccines, okay? And this isn't, like, a biased, you know, people who are, quote-unquote, anti-vaxxers and, or versus pro. It's like this big war with these labels, and it's so freaking annoying because that's not what it's about, okay? It's not what it's about.
Yeah.
What it's about is understanding that we deserve truth, okay? We deserve to know and have the choice. It's not about the science. A vaccine, we understand. People who aren't choosing to vaccinate, it's not because you don't understand the concept between, like, exposing your body to something to get it. You know, that's not – we're not clueless. We get it. We understand. It's that we feel we have the right, and it's on the CDC website, which we did a good job at just putting that link there so you can see what's in them. Let's just get all the other crap out of it. And if you, you know, but that's your right to know. And I just feel like I want to say that so that people aren't, you know, this isn't like a judgment against parents who believe in like that, you know, science of vaccine, like the concept behind it, because we get it, right? But moving out of Portland, like when we had Hannah, because we didn't, you know, I was vaccinated as a kid. Then again, we didn't have nearly as many back then. And I was born in 84. I'm 34 years old. And, you know, like I know we had like a chickenpox party when I was a kid. There wasn't this big fear around measles and chickenpox and things that your body, I mean, again, the CDC says it on their website, like, you're going to recover naturally and have lifelong immunity by contracting it the natural way versus the artificial. And just knowing that it's not, fear tactics are what they are, right? And it's being wise enough to see through that and be able to say, well, what's in something? And do I get to choose whether or not I want to consume that or put that in my kid's body? Like, do I get that choice? Do I get a voice in saying,
I think that was...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Sorry. I think that that was always our speech.
Oh, no, go ahead. Right,
no,
right.
Like, no, I'm just saying it. That was always our stance. Like, I met, we'll backtrack a little bit. I met Naomi at a restaurant in Oceanside.
Shout out, Arnie.
No, I'm not trying to give them any shout outs at all. You had come in. You had come in off of a reality TV show.
Oh, Lord.
Right?
Yeah, that was interesting time. Very interesting times.
Yeah, a lot of unwanted attention. But it's a super like guilty pleasure reality TV show, right? So
which I never watched. One I never watched to begin with, and I haven't watched since. Really, I think I only saw like three episodes from my own season. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. No, well, so you come in and you it's like you came in and just knew that you were gonna get the job though. Like you were. I mean.
I always say this. Let's not mistake confidence for arrogance, people.
No, and I just felt this, like, I was like, you. I like her. She's just so confident, this girl. And you just, I loved that about you. But just, oh my gosh, the stories from working at that
place.
Well,
can I give you a little love right now? Because Talia was my trainer. And of course, I jive with her instantly. Her witty, very like, you know, kind of stale face humor, but like, you're perfect. It was perfect. And ever since, I'm like, this is like my soul sister. This is my family. I mean, we vibe. We just vibe.
Well,
I love you.
I loved all like the pep talks at that place because you and I would just look at each other like. We're not.
Come on now.
This is not that serious. And and also, don't tell me what to do.
Like legit, just, right?
Yeah, there's something about management and rules when it comes to you, which we've had a lot of.
You know,
I had 12
years in service industry between restaurants and bars. And the thing is, I have nothing but respect for people. And my whole take has always been, if you're in a position of authority, just don't abuse it. Don't be an ass. Don't be arrogant. Like, don't treat people the way you don't want to be treated. And if you're going to do that, by all means, be prepared to hear it.
Yeah, because
there's just some things I don't let fly. If I see it happening, I'm like, oh, no way. No.
And where did you get that from? Because, like, for me, it was when I was a kid. It was my dad who would – he told me at a very young age – don't be afraid of human beings. They're only human. And, you know, he was same thing, though. He was like, respect authority. Yeah, he's like, respect authority, but, you know, question everything. And if somebody gets upset with you asking a question, then that's a red flag. So who taught you, like, where was your moment in life where you're like,
well, Talia, aren't we middle kids? Is that one of them? Could that be anything? And here's the thing, you gotta fight for your place as a middle kid sometimes. And
that's true.
Oh my god. And part of it too, you know, I'm like sun sign Taurus here, and then I've got the tarot is something new for me as well, and spirituality and all that. But I'm also a lot of Gemini, like North, South, Chiron. So a lot of Gemini, Virgo, Moon, but, you know, Taurus, my sun sign, my personality, Venus in Taurus. And that's the lover in me. That's the one that just wants to nurture and be nurtured and freedom that, you know, think Mother Earth. It's like, let's nurture and allow people to be who they are and be authentic to who you are and express who you are. And if you feel like somebody's going to shut you up or dominate you well, let them know, hey, that's not cool. Like, show yourself respect and your worth. And if you see that being done around you, and maybe it's like the humanitarian in me, or just like the one who's like, look, I've got no fear. Like, whatever you think, you know, you can't. I watched a boss once, like, literally grab a busser by the shirt. And I'm cruising around the corner, and he's like, it's back to claim jumper days. Hey, hey. And I remember it's one of those moments. Like, one of those things that will forever stick with me because of the nature of how it all played out, right? I was like, I walk around the corner, I see him grabbing this, like, buster, and he's yelling at him in his face, and I'm like, I literally whip my finger out, and I point at him, and I'm like, not okay, not okay. And the guy ended up trying to, like, have me fired so many times. I mean, he'd write me up if I was, like, 2 seconds late, and then finally he's trying to pull me in the office one day with another GM, and he goes, okay, let's have a chit chat. And I said, I don't need to name names, but I said, you know what, let's just mano-a-mano here, like one-on-one, you know, this other person doesn't need to hear what I have to say. But you know what that did? Later on, he switched his tone completely. I said, this is the perception. It's not just me. Whether people around here are willing to tell you or not, you don't have to be this way. Okay. You lose respect by trying to, like, you don't have to, okay? And later on, he ended up telling me, thank you, like, thank you. And it's showing somebody the respect they deserve, even if they're not acting like they deserve it. I mean, still be who you are, but don't let something, when you see that something's wrong, or if it's taboo and it's not okay, and this is coming from somebody who literally, like, I was born and raised fundamentally religion, and having some of my own experiences in, like, more of the mediumship sense of the word had really forced me to get strong and come into my own and embrace, like, who I am. And that's important. That's an important message that everybody needs to hear, which Talia, this Talia Like It Is show, you're providing that platform, and you just being who you are, which is, like, 100% why you and I vibe, because we're kindred there. We're kindred.
Yeah, so for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then I know that just having that, you know, mentality and stance in life, it just kind of trickles into everything. It whether you're working in a restaurant setting, whether you're, you know, like us in a pediatrician's office, there's literally, like,
totally,
anytime something, I feel that it's that bullying vibe that, hey, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
I'm just asking a question
mm-hmm.
here. I'm just asking a
totally.
Question. You're getting not only defensive about it, you're not answering me,
mm-hmm.
and you're making me feel stupid for asking.
Yeah.
So those were just
yeah.
the biggest red flags.
Not okay.
For me.
Just not kind. Be kind.
They were not okay. How did you, because, you know, right now, there's even the religious exempts in California that had,
mm-hmm.
before they used to be grandfathered in. I'm hearing from people that they're no
right.
longer allowing those to be, like,
right.
the ones that were grandfathered in. It's like, if I were to
mm-hmm.
be back there now with my kids, I thought I'd have
mm-hmm.
confidence, like, well, Amelia has this. I had it notarized,
mm-hmm.
and apparently friends are telling me, no, it doesn't matter.
Well,
not
here's the thing with
it,
the religious
so.
Side of it. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think the religious side of it, you guys, getting chilly. I probably should just start walking. MRC, definitely need to be walking in the woods, not sitting on a log. Okay,
really?
So MRC-5, I think that's the name of it. Here's the thing. If you look on what is in this stuff, okay, this is like aborted fetal cell tissue. Why do people who are religious have a problem with that? Well, is one life compensated for another when you're doing it in you know, the God Almighty name of science? And do people understand that there is a portion of medical industry that is taking, encouraging that, right? And using that for these quote unquote life saving vaccines that have been quote unquote proven effective and blah, blah, blah. When, you know, we know that's not true because $3 billion have been compensated in vaccine court. So obviously
yep.
that's not true. But here's the thing. What are we willing to believe? And Tali, you probably relate more than anybody to this with going back to what you were saying about also just like how we're demeaned. I mean, with Hannah as a baby, I remember because we had started off vaccinating. I didn't really take the time to look into it. I didn't know any differently. It was just kind of like, well, that's what you do, right? That's what we do. And I remember being I think it was like her second or third office visit, and I didn't do them right from the hospital. I wanted to wait. She had a couple of the ones that they typically give. And then by the time we were, like, the MMR one, I'm in there, and I just had this, like, something hit me in the stomach. Like, do you even know what you're doing and why you're doing it? And that question, like, it was, like, full force. And I had to tell her pediatrician, I said, look, you know, I respect everything here. Let me just have a little bit of time to kind of, like, dig into this and kind of figure out, like, look at all sides of the coin. I was just doing diligence as a parent, right? Well, I come back to the table a couple appointments later, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to hold off. If we do them, I think I might wait until she's a little bit older. And I had that right. She demeaned me completely and said, and you know me, back to what we were just saying.
here we go.
I'm like, and I'll
wait,
be nice about
time,
it.
No, so this is Hannah, though, and I had
Hannah. Yeah,
at this
the
point.
Other two didn't have any. Right, right.
Well, I had a
I hadn't
had
the other two
now,
girls yet.
Didn't I kind of prompt you at all with the vaccine thing while you were pregnant?
Absolutely.
And then how did you take that?
I mean,
what was your reaction to that? Like, what was, you know?
I think it was both. Like, did Amelia have any? I don't remember. Did you go that route or not?
I told you.
Not
we
that
only,
it
we did. Yeah, we did, like, one the first visit and then one the other visit,
that's
and
it.
Both visits were miserable.
Yeah. And
like,
I think,
she had fevers those nights. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I do remember. So foggy, right? When you've had three kids, you're just like, eh.
Yeah.
And that was very influential, 100% influential. And I think that that's probably what got me thinking on top of what hit me in the stomach, like, what are you doing? And but I do recall telling the doctor, I said, you know, when I came back at it, you know, a few visits later, and I just said, yeah, I think we're just going to wait. It's just kind of what I feel good about right now. And she looked at me and she was like, well, to us, that's like putting a child in a car without a car seat. Basically, who does that?
God.
What kind of mother does that to her child? And I took a minute. I looked at her. I didn't
know
what to say.
Every mom in the third world country.
Literally, I was just like, I don't even know exactly how, like, you're kind of slapping me in the face as, like, a parent right now. But, and you know, I'm not surprised. I've read these kind of stories already, so now I really am experiencing this. And I looked at her, and I just said to her, I said, you know, with all due respect, this is part of the problem. I am a mother, okay? I've just given birth to a newborn here, and I have the right to know what I'm doing, what's in this. You have not provided me with a single insert to take home and review. You've only told me what to do. And now you're telling me basically that because I'm not going to take the advice on your schedule, this is like putting my child in a car without a car seat, my newborn. We're done. I'm going to go ahead and leave now. And we never went back because, no, I did not deserve that. Nobody deserves that. And those people, those doctors, whatever you've learned or whatever you think you know about somebody else and their situation, go check yourself. Like, is that not happening? And how about you?
Okay, you guys just never went back, and then it opened up your research. Then it was just a full on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you and I went full throttle.
Then it got
and
crazy.
And I love your videos
right
when you would post from doctor's offices and have Amelia with her video.
asking the nurse what's in a flu shot, and she's like, I think there's some egg in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're like, are there
organic? You know, people need to. No, I think Sebastian asked if it's a rotten egg. She's like, is it a rotten egg? She's
what
like, I don't
egg,
think
huh?
so. I mean, pretty much a rotten egg. Well, so, okay, then, so you were in the clear, but then you still had to put your kids in some kind of school before you left to Oregon. So what were you using at that point? Just,
well, you know
you
what?
Had to do
we
the medical exempt
once,
thing.
Yeah, because once SB-277 unfortunately passed, and, oh, gosh, it was like, I think a lot of people were just like screaming, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I just happened to be fortunate enough to, and I don't even know, he actually told us that he wasn't writing them for everybody. And it was, there kind of were fewer, but he would listen to each story. And when we came in, his real big thing was like, wow, you guys have really taken the time to like make this decision. You know a lot, you know what you're doing. And in our case, like I had a lot of ear infections and things as a kid, and they could have been related to that. And asthma on, you know, their dad's side. And again, like that was kind of like in our favor to some degree. However, it was more about the fact that this particular doctor even was just like, there's nobody who can take away my life. Like, he didn't have the fear factor, I think, that a lot of other perhaps doctors did, because like we ended up having to leave another doctor that from Hannah's original, we found a family doctor who was European and just a little more like balanced in how she looked at things, but even she wouldn't do it. So I think a lot of people found themselves in that
boat. This is different though. But this is different. This is not what it is today. Today, I have too many people texting me and messaging me saying they do not even know where to go to find somebody that thinks that way.
They
There's
go to
no
another
doctor
state.
That
they
wants
move.
To take it.
Yeah, they move.
Yeah,
because
no doctor
wants
to deal.
Why do people have to move? Yeah. I mean, what kind of – when does the state really – what – when do we reach a point where we're just like, you know, yeah, this is for the greater good of the world – and my body belongs to the state. This is fascism, and this is not like a free country. People, if we think we're living in a free country, especially certain states like this that are passing those kind of, we're disillusioned. It's not real. And it is unfortunate that enough people can't come together, even more so now than ever, right? Like, let's drop the whole war against between the parents. That's what they want us to do. You know, that whole fear-mongering, that they want parents to pin themselves against other parents and judge each other and be like, oh, you know, the kind of statements that are made, get those sick anti-vax kids away from me, homeschool. It's like all these stigmas and labels, and it's like, really, like, my kids are actually pretty healthy. They really don't get sick a whole lot, and they're good. I mean, what, and they take baths, and, you know, like, why do we get to a point where we're that low? We get that low with each other.
Well, because
when
you can't fight fact with fact, people who can't, you know, it's bullying tactics. If you're not able to fight fact with fact, you resort to name-calling, bullying, making the other party look stupid.
Yeah.
But anybody knows, anybody who's ever debated knows that the minute somebody, goes away from the topic and wants to get at your character and get at you as a person, something you cannot change physically, or, you know, you know that they won't. So it makes it even better for somebody like me, because
like
it
laughable.
Makes me laugh.
yeah.
Like, oh,
for sure.
Oh, okay.
Which
okay.
we're good at.
All you
laugh
got for
it
me,
off.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
All you got for me is that I'm an idiot. Okay.
Okay.
And then that's it. And then you're like, walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that's.
You don't identify. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have the time for it. Before, I used to engage, and then my dad gave me another good tip. He's like, hey, when you're debating with people, don't debate privately. Like, if somebody's messaging you privately, don't even bother with them. He's like, the art of the debate is never to convince the person that's messaging you. It's to convince the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only time that I'll actually, like,
all that
engage.
Energy you'll give, right? You're, like, doing it as a gift.
Well,
like, in your heart, Polly, your heart's right. It's always been right. And I think that this is where it's, like, people misunderstand you. People don't understand. When somebody is out there putting themselves out on the line like that, I admire you more than so many. Like, willing to do that, takes a level of courage. But I'm serious, and you need to hear that and deserve that, those accolades. And I think that a lot of parents, I'm speaking for so many parents out there, clearly you got your own radio show. And here's the thing. So many people want to hear that message, and they want to be empowered. They want to know the truth. And the ones who don't, they'll pull out of your life, and they would be the ones who have a problem. But you know what? It's not your problem. You're not telling them, hey, you're a bad parent. You're saying, look, don't you want to know? Don't you think we all agree that we deserve to know what we're dealing with? Isn't that something you want? I mean, do you value your freedom? Because if you don't, then great. Like, hit the road. Don't follow me anymore. Like, you don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to follow my page. Just be you.
Yeah,
keep
that's
doing
true.
You. You're making a huge difference. Huge difference. Mm. And I love it.
Thank you.
It.
I mean, I had my partner in crime back then, and I know that you kind of dropped off social media for a bit. You had a lot going on.
I had to
on.
Delete my Facebook page. I did delete my Facebook page. But I'm on Instagram again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you know what? You had what? You had 3 kids in under 5 years, right? Was it something like that?
Pretty crazy. It's still crazy, let's be real. My 2-year-old is slow. Like, she wants to potty train. She's in panties now, and she just will hold it. It's crazy. She's got, like, a bladder of steel. I go pick her up, and they're like, we're just not sure. It's like we take her to the toilet. She just wants to go, but she doesn't want to go. And then as soon as we get home and she's got, like, her pull-ups on, she'll go. And then she's upset about it. She doesn't. She's funny, though.
Very.
But yeah, we're pushing
going
out of
through.
That
so you
phase,
had to
finally.
Just, you know, it's going to be something. What are you going to do with all your money that you don't have to spend on diapers? What are you going to do?
I know. My gosh, I don't even know. Give it back, you know, travel and hopefully see the world and do things as the time and, you know. I think being here is really a new, fresh vibe for me, being into art and music and getting to go. We live in, like, the country, but, like, 20 minutes out, I can go into Portland and get all that fun downtown life and, you know, shows, music, and just embracing, like, you know, the nature.
Seasons.
Just,
you get seasons.
And we're going through a lot of change. This is probably going to be news to some people, but, yeah, we're in the middle of a divorce, but it's, like, we, again, news to some people, we filed a year ago, retracted it, went back at it, therapy, all the whole nine, but like that show, what is it, Splitting Up Together? I don't watch TV,
yeah.
But he's been watching that show. And we're realizing, even having come from, like, I came from that toxic, very, very toxic, and years later, parents who were still doing the same thing, pegging, you know, it's just, you have to break those cycles, no matter who you are, where you're at, what you think you knew back in your 20s. I mean, in our case, it's like 14 years, 18 to 34, you really change and grow a lot. And sometimes, no matter, with all your best efforts, it's like you have to reach a point, we are who we are, and I love you, I don't want to change you, I don't want you to feel like you have to mold to be who I am. And like even today, it'll be finalized December 6th, I'll be Crespo again. But it's like even having a talk with our lawyer today to kind of wrap up all the stuff, and we had a great chat, and we're friends. We're always going to be, and our kids can see that. You know, there's not going to be this, like, pinning against each other, and, you know, their emotional security is more important than anything to both of us. So it's about respecting
each other.
No,
I just wanted to be clear here, though.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the move, right? I mean,
No.
It was already, like, a long time coming, according to you, and the whole.
Well, for me it was because, and he knows, this is not, again, before even getting on the show with you, I was like, are you cool with me talking about this? He's like, yeah, absolutely. I was out in San Diego a couple weekends ago to break the news, like, to family and friends, and even some of my best friends were like, wow, like, I didn't know half of this, because I do believe some things are very sacred, and you don't need to, like, if something's not over, it's not over, and if you're working at it, work at it, right? But you don't need to blast. I think what happens all too often is we have this really bad taboo on divorce, right? And this idea that you're just supposed to hate each other and it's supposed to be horrible and awful and toxic, when really it's like, well, how grown up are you? And how much do you care about, if you have kids, how much do you care about their emotional security over what your own selves and your own hang-ups? And sometimes somebody in a relationship could be, I think, for years feeling something for a very long time, but because of social norms, convention, you know, in our case, I was out in San Diego and I got the sweetest note from him. He took the girls down to Eugene, and his mom was like, he's been losing weight. I was losing hair in the shower, like, nonstop. And his mom said, you need to go take a hike. And I had been telling him, go soul search. And he wrote me the letter and he said, you know, I had to go through all the questions. Why am I in love with her? Why am I in love? And when your answers coming back to you are like, what are people going to think? Breaking convention, breaking tradition, and it's so less about that person. It's not that you don't love that person. It's not that you don't emotionally want to be involved with them, but are you as compatible as you thought, right? In the ways that, you know, and I say this because I do, I'm still and always will be that hopeless romantic, right? He's like been my one and my only pretty much. So it's kind of all I've ever known, yet I've been able to see the ways where I've enabled certain patterns by just being constantly available and supporting and making myself fit wherever I could versus like, well, who are you and what do you want out of life? And those are important questions that we have to ask ourselves. And when you can support each other, whether something's done or not and you don't know yet, give it time, but also trust your intuition. So many times I think we look externally to what is the world telling us? What is my family? I had to pull back from some of my family. I had to be like, look, I know you think you know what you know, but you really don't, because we've been pretty good about not doing that. But we have our reasons. We all have our reasons. And you don't know what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes unless you're in their shoes. You just don't know. And I would just say, like, do it with love. If you're, I did a little video. I have a Truth Talk, comma, T and Tarot channel. And I did a little, I don't remember which element it was, but I had started going into this because sometimes, like, I'll see divorce on the table or I'll see separation. I'll see certain things show up. And I just started this literally like a month ago. So still pretty new, but I'm embracing.
Let me go ahead and let me plug it. What is the channel called? So if people want to listen in, they could listen in.
Truth Talks, and the talks, because they typically are like talks. It's more like they can go like an hour long, and I'm doing them only once a month. Every sign gets one. But Truth Talk, comma, tea, like the tea we drink, the and symbol, Tarot. And really, this is my way of giving back. It's like donation-based, and those donations go to the partnerships that I partner with, which are also on my website, namirozlove.com. But it's really just kind of my way of wanting to give back and wanting to, like, I'm no guru, okay? I'm a human being, like everybody else, a spirit first, but human like everyone else, and we all have our struggles, and we're all learning how to, like, how to kind of face our skeletons, face our demons, you know, quote unquote, and how to love ourselves, how to learn to appreciate, you know, the dark, the light, all of the above, and respect ourselves, step into our knowing and our worth so that we can, we give that to ourselves, we're naturally going to embody that and give that to other people, even when something's ending or transitioning. Like Hannah asked me, Mommy, you know, why are you in this room? And they've seen it for a while, so it's a transition they're already getting. You know, they crawl into bed with me or they go crawl into bed with him. And as I'm moving into the driveway, it'll be like fun slumber parties in Mommy's cabin, you know. You don't have to give kids what they're ready for as they're ready for it, but you show love. You show respect. You show them that love is love is love. When she'd asked me about my parents, are Nana and Papa still together? And I said, well, no, Papa's with Grammy, Nana's with her boyfriend. And she's like, but they're your parents. I said, well, yeah, baby, but, and I had to use a couple of her friends as examples. And I just said, well, you know, some mommies and daddies, they choose to be in their own rooms. Some mommies and daddies choose to be in their own homes and date other people. But, you know, love is love is love. And what makes a family is love. And we're always a family because we love each other and we're friends, you know, like friendship. That's what makes a family. My girlfriends, my sisters, you and so many others are the friends I've chosen as my family. Because sometimes even with our family, you know, our blood, our upbringings, we don't get what we need there. We don't get that unconditional love and support. And unconditional because it's without condition. Love is not a possession. You know, we can't possess people and make them our property. It's just, and if you're treating somebody for years on end like they're just sort of a placement holder for you and you're juggling so much, but you're like, oh, that person will, no, they won't always be there. They just won't. At least not when they're stepping into their own, you know, authentic self. So if the person you're with, you want to be with, then make sure you commit yourself to that, you know. And like I had my mail lady show up with mail the other day as I'm in the middle of one of my elements. And, you know, she's like, oh, looking at the tiny home and asking me about it. I was like, well, you know, we're doing that kind of show, splitting up together, I guess, and kind of crack a joke about it. And I said, she's like, yes, you know, it happens. People grow apart. And I was like, I can't say that here. I mean, 29 years later and it's definitely not fizzled. And the way she said it was like, I'm like, damn, yeah, I like that. Like, not all
meaning to say she was still
hot and heavy for her guy. Yeah, like, that's beautiful. But you know what? That's probably because two people who really put the time in and the devotion to that quality, you know each other's love languages. If you're married to somebody who's got physical touch and quality time, you can't be brushing them aside left and right to whatever it is you got to do. So it's in our case, I know he didn't, and we've worked with the therapist, all that stuff, And this is like where we're able to have these honest, raw conversations. He's like, I see what you're saying when all those answers coming to me. And even, you know, our therapist is asking me, like, what's your love language? I don't even know. I don't even have an answer for that. And these are beautiful things.
Because, you know what, I think it's a little bit of everything. I've read the love language book, and I'm like, I get that this can work for some people, but I feel like I need a little bit of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Absolutely. And that's your love language, is a little bit of all, like 100%. I guess it's just like loving somebody enough to open your hand and let them go when you know, like, maybe you thought you've been doing everything for the right reasons, but are they, you know, are they, is it really best for the kids? Like, is it? And I used to be that one. We changed dramatically from 18 to our 30s. And in my 20s, I was really religious. I was way more religious at that point. I was like, you know, people who give up on marriage and they, you know, they say, oh, we just fell out of love. Like, they're not trying hard enough. And if you fell in love once, you can fall in love again. And I had this very, like, idealistic idea about love and relationships and, you know, like, my other half, I found my other half. And it's whimsical and it's beautiful, but, you know, it's a different chapter in life when you kind of, especially having three kids, right?
Yeah.
Tully,
oh my gosh.
You feel me now.
I'm not even going to lie. It's hard. It's hard with two kids. It's hard with one kid. It's just hard when, because you have to, as a parent, die to your old self. And I was, I remembered, you know, the first year after we had Amelia, I just felt like, wow, within a year, I felt like I didn't even know Jeff anymore, because I knew Jeff to be the fun-loving husband, boyfriend. Like, I knew him in all these other labels, not Dad.
Right,
and,
right.
And I did what most women do, which is I forgot quite often that he had never done this before, because all I kept thinking is, I've never done this before. And I just became this snappy person that wasn't me and wasn't a person that he'd ever seen before either. So I think just as him, I know that you're into the signs thing, and I haven't followed along as much as I'd like to, because it does interest me.
Oh,
you know,
girl,
he's an Aries.
Like, you got the time. Like, you've got the time.
Really, but he's an Aries.
Are you serious? He's an Aries? Okay, Talia, let me tell you, this is no coincidence. He needs to watch my Aries this month. I was so emotional, and I literally, it was between loss of animals, whoever I'm connecting with. And here's the thing, as an empath, I feel the energy, I'm sentient, so sometimes, I mean, literally, I'm moved. Sorry, never mind the chart, no lie. I'll be moved in certain ways, and sometimes emotions that flood me. And I literally put a video up, and I said, Leo and Aries, whoever you guys are, whoever I'm connecting with, there's some heavy stuff going on, heavy emotions, heavy, and I felt it. And this is the thing that I would say about, I don't know who I'm connecting with. I don't know unless the feedback is there. But I also know that just having tuned into enough of this stuff, once I opened and I was like, okay, I'm not evil, I'm not going to hell, transcend all the religious dogma side of it, you know, there's a truth behind not only numerology, numbers, and language there, but there's a truth behind just your sun sign is what it is, right? I'm a Taurus. My Venus is Taurus, so that's my love planet. But here's the thing. Just as important to that would be your moon sign. In my case, I'm Virgo. My rising, also Virgo. My north node, which is what you're here to do, kind of how you're expressed and what you're here to do, Gemini. My south node would be kind of like lifetime, past life, and this life, kind of karmic, what you're here to balance. I'm also Gemini. My Chiron, which is kind of like the wounded healer aspect, also Gemini. So, you see, if I want to get a really good reading on myself, I would tune into all those different readings. And that's going to give me really good understanding of kind of like what the energies are like for me, because, you know, they're going to be very similar. They're general readings for a reason. People will tune in and you'll resonate where you do. It's not going to be every single situation. If you want a more detailed reading, it's always funny when I see people comment on even other channels and like, that doesn't rest. Like, well, it wasn't for you then. But you know why I do it and why I love it and why I have no problem. Like, sometimes I do have to sit back because the energy can be so strong. I had to take a break and I have to go get on like my chi machine and meditate. And like, you know, tap back into my happy self, depending on who it is, like I'm connecting with. I don't know all the time, but I love it because I feel, A, I can watch the views stack up, even if it's a new channel and there's not many subscribers yet. It's like I can see certain views, certain elements that are really, like, jiving and tuning into them. So I must assume that on some level, right, they're helpful.
Yeah.
And that's the point. That is the point. You know.
Well,
anyway, and I can't wait to watch all your videos. I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems as though you have quite the niche. And I know that you've always been, like, you were the person in my life that I was like, if I have any friend that can talk to a tree, it's Naomi. Like, meaning to say, like,
oh, girl,
meaning
I
to say,
them.
Like,
I come out, I'm a tree hugger. I come out and hug them. For sure.
And, you know, I'm not as in tune with myself and that would in tune with nature as I would like to be. And I know that if I needed any help and advice on that, you'd be the person that I would call. Like,
totally. You got barefoot. So I mean, it's a little chilly out right now, but get barefoot and go dig your feet in dirt or grass. You get negative ions through the soles of your feet into your body. It balances your energy. That's why they say when you're feeling like you need to get grounded, go get grounded in earth. That's the way to do it. Sand, water. Water is like an, you know, kind of a, sometimes I'll put my feet in water if I'm doing a reading because it anchors in, you know, higher spirit. When I was doing distant healing sessions, body work on people from a distance, I just submerged myself in the bathtub. Water is like that perfect conduit because it's cleansing. And then, you know, the earth is, it harnesses, it's Mother Earth. She nurtures us for a reason, you know?
Do you know? Do you miss the California beaches then at least? Is there
but
the beach?
Like I'll be back out there in December for the Christmas parties. I'll still keep coming back out, but you know, no. I have to say, like, I took it for granted though. I did kind of take it for granted. But I do love the beach. It's not that I don't. But you know what's interesting is like and probably with, you know, touristing my sun sign. Cool, damp, kind of scarfy, you know, hats and trees, woods, like that's my vibe. So I really feel like I've found my place in the world here. And I love it.
That makes me so happy because
it's
really, when it comes to the parents that are afraid of the move, it's so daunting to them. Like you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you chose a place like Oregon and I chose the desert. You know, like
totally.
We kind of, and I do feel like I definitely vibe with the desert, like the mountains, I love the wild, wild west aspect.
Totally.
Like I just honestly love, I mean, I love that.
I used to say Vegas
over.
Hates me. I used to say Vegas hates me because every time I was going, I'd like get food poisoning, alcohol poisoning or something. It's like miserable.
Wait a minute.
But I need
all,
to come back out and see. I need to come see you and do Vegas right.
You need to, yes. No. Not so much right. I'm not going to judge because the only Vegas I knew before I moved out here was the Strip and,
totally,
girl trips, a bunch of girl trip shows. Okay, yeah, like cutting to the last time you were in Vegas, Naomi came to Vegas, called me from an airport at like 10 o'clock at night, and like you're still at the airport, and I'm like, hey, and we had already had kids, and you're like, hey, I'm in Vegas, yeah, you're like, I just landed, I'm in Vegas. We're going out. I'm like, Naomi.
I'm a mom. Aren't you?
Yes.
Hey,
but you know what? I can't even hate.
Convention. Break away from the babies every now and then and do you. We got to let our childhood, our little child spirit
oh,
out
I'm
and play.
So,
because,
I'm so there with you.
Oh,
I'm there with you.
Need
it's just,
it.
It's just that I gave myself, I was like, Naomi, I'm a brunch person right now. Like, I can do brunch mimosas. I was like, I could do brunch mimosas. But the thing is, the last time I did that to myself. No, the last time I did brunch and mimosas, like a few weeks ago, I was supposed to be back home at like, and I came back at like 6 p.m. I ended up in like a club in the afternoon though. Like I ended up.
That's so-
I think I was like, the thing is, I walked in, the girls, I did like a girls photo shoot thing, and they invited me to a brunch right after. And I was like, you know, it's just brunch.
I saw your post.
Girl,
I loved it. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, my God. Well, like,
I commented on it.
I'm definitely not.
I'm
not one to judge.
I love your vibe,
I'm
though.
I'm not one to judge.
Probably, this is the thing, why I love you. It's like, literally, you're a free spirit. You just roll with it. And you're insanely talented. I mean, I wish you were here. You'll always be my family photographer at heart. And then when you're here, returning to the UNMRF, I'm out there. But you're an amazing soul. You just are. And everything you do deserves accolades because you really put yourself out there. I feel like I just want to tell you that over and over again. And that whole, and this is for anybody listening, you know, attitude of gratitude. And if you're lacking it because of whatever circumstances we're in, right, we just got to shift and find gratitude again and let the people in our life know how thankful we are for them. And it gets you where you want to be.
Well, I know I'm overdue for an Oregon trip. I've been wanting to visit you. So I really have to figure that out. Maybe I can just take a weekend. Yeah, I'll just take a weekend, get on a plane.
Love it.
And just be out there for a bit.
We'll book a couple hikes. We'll do nature. Yes. Are you kidding? My tiny house will have, I've got the loft bed, but then I also have a pull out, a futon bed. So, yes, plenty of room.
You know,
or in the
let's
main house,
do it. I think
he travels.
Let's
I'll be
do
in
the
main.
Tiny
we're
house.
In the main. Anyway. Yes. No. We're doing the
let's
cabin.
Let's do the tiny house.
It's coming together quite nice. I've got my electrician coming out in like a week, and then I got to hook up a hose and get a skirt on it, kind of make it look station. But, yeah, that's a whole other topic, but it's all
really
to
no.
Things
I wanted to ask you though, when you did go out there first to Oregon. I know we've gone off on so many different little things, but whatever,
I know
that's us
as we always do.
When you first got out there, what was the how long did it take you to, I guess, in a way, settle in with the kids too? You know.
Oh Lord.
Like,
well,
what was that?
It was pretty difficult.
What was that process?
He was traveling. Yeah, you know, it was tough. Like, I didn't anticipate how much traveling he'd have to do once we were here. I don't even know that he really did, to tell you the truth, either. But it was tough. It was tough. But I'm, like, kind of just antsy pants, and I have to get things. I have to feel – I'm a tourist. I need to feel, like, settled and cozy and – you know, pictures on the walls. And so it was like a 2-week process, but it's only because I hauled ass. I hauled ass, as I typically do.
Well,
same thing
you.
With the tiny. It's kind of the same thing.
But, did your kids jump right into school? Did your kids go to school right away,
yeah,
the two older ones, or did they?
So okay. I tend to have the outlook of just like everything falls into place. And I always kind of hold on to that mentality. And for one reason or another, things just always work out that way for me. So with the schooling, it was like we found, so they were doing, the younger ones were doing early years, or I'm sorry, a home base like Monte San Diego that was amazing and I loved it. Well, here I found a center that the woman who started it basically ran her own home daycare for 15 years. So they do 2 meals, naps, art projects, music, play, stories. They get it all there. And the hardest thing, I think, was mentally getting myself, you know, I was keeping Sophia and Adeline home 2 days, but Sophia was like my hip child, my leech. And it was just too hard. I'm like, you know, I'm going to switch to full days, the same hours that Hannah goes. They will all go, and then I'll pick them up, you know, all at the same time. We'll get 3 hours every day together before cheer practice or whatever, dinner or whatever we got to do. And then I'll get my me time. And it has been a whirlwind of difference since I've been doing that. So, and then Hannah's at the... Are you there? Oh, I thought I hung up on you, Talia. My phone went away and I thought I accidentally hung up. Yeah, so Hannah's at the River Grove. She's at the public school. So, okay, we were talking schools now. Whirlwind of a difference where I am. And it's Lake Oswego in particular, because not all the schools in Oregon are like this. This community tends to be like, and it's not because it's a super only rich people. I mean, the housing market here is anywhere from in the 4s, 5s and up, you know? So it's not that you have kind of money to live here, right? And like where we're at. But the school, Lake Oswego in general, raises like over $1 million every year for the public schools. The community does that. So they have everything from their music room with a ton of instruments, art, a garden on campus, fall festival, all the – it's just a very holistic, art, soul-centered kind of atmosphere and like-minded people. And I really feel that that's why we gravitated here. I mean, it's just – it's everything we want, and she gets to go to public school, and her teacher's amazing. We went and volunteered. We like, goofed thinking it was, like, a parent party, and he and I were the only two who showed up. So – but she actually needed volunteers, so it worked out perfectly. We got to sit in on Hannah's class, and it's just the kind of stuff. I mean, I'll pick each kid, too. I like to take them on one-on-one dates and explore Portland, and it's been amazing. Like, I just love it here. We love it. Really love it.
So how many trips did you make personally out there before you got – and I know you had to go house hunting, like – how many trips was that for?
Yeah.
I think with Vegas,
you know,
we did like
bought a house.
3 weekends.
Yeah. You guys actually looked. You took the time to like look at home physically.
what about
we bought a house that
like,
we had.
Everything was.
We literally bought kind of an expensive house that neither one of us walked through. So we didn't
like
really.
Like you bought it, you saw it online. You just saw it online. And
yeah. We snagged it up, and for me, it was definitely about the location. All the woods here, 30 acres of woods. I mean, we get lost. There's all these different trails, too. Hannah and I once, we come out here, and we pick up trash, like drag bags of trash in, and she's so funny. She got her gloves on. Mommy, why do people do this to Mother Earth? Anyway, like one day, we were out here hiking, and we ended up on the side of the road, and I looked like that crazy lady with a trash bag and her daughter, like trying to dodge cars. But it's easy. I realize it's easy to get lost in these woods.
Naomi.
This was for me. and my challenge. So all the easier for me. But it's like the wood, the nature for me is what it was. The house is amazing. It really is. Personally, for me, it's just too big. But, you know, the treehouse, this is all here. The people who sold us the house, they have 3 daughters as well, and they move, like, not far. So her and I get together with her every now and then, have coffee. We did dinner, and they're awesome, amazing, like, family. And they moved from California. So there's just all these synchronicities. I mean, even as soon as I moved here, it was, like, getting out and about. I couldn't tell you, Dahlia, how many people were moved here from Encinitas, Carlsbad, San Diego. It's, like, so many people. I was afraid to tell people where I was from for a while, or having to be like, yeah, well, he's native, you know, because that whole flocking of Californians here.
Oh, yeah, because you get the eye roll. I experienced that, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being being in Spain, and if you tell people in
even
Spain
in
you're from America, they're like, ugh.
Yeah, right?
No, well, in Vegas, because you know what? I know Clark County, the area we're in, is very – it's a little more like – liberal-minded because of how they vote, I guess.
Right.
But most of my neighbors are very, like, conservative-type mentality. So when they saw, like, a family moving in from California, I mean, I had a neighbor that was, like, gave a bit of an eye roll and was like, well, I hope you don't want to turn this place into California. And I was like, first of all, I don't have the power to, like, turn a place into something, but thanks for the credit. But you could tell, you could tell that there was just this, like, there is. And you know what, being here for almost 3 years, I kind of feel that way, too, because the area we're in, half the homes used to be, like, nobody lived here. It was, like, when the housing market had crashed, the Chinese came in and bought half the homes, right? A sight unseen.
Totally,
kind of like
yeah.
How you guys bought your home sight unseen.
Right.
They just bought homes here and they left them empty. So, but it's crazy because in almost 3 years now, there's every home is filled and all the new neighbors, all the new people at Amelia's school and Sebastian's school are from California. It's all in. So
wow.
I get the same.
California is insane. It's too expensive. And I mean, we do still have, our home. It is a blessing that we were able to hang on to that. And we are renting it out. So it is more an investment in South Carlsbad. And if we ever actually wanted to move back, which we don't, but the thing is a lot of people, we just can't afford it. Right. It's like, that's just California is so out of touch is what it is. It's like,
Well, forget being able to afford it. It's more just like the policies now. It's literally like they're making it so you either need to live there dependent on the government, mm-hmm. and then they get to decide everything for you, or you better be making, seriously, I've met so many people that they're making.
Like millionaire. Yeah.
But they're making past six figures a year, and they're struggling in California.
Did you hear about the gas tax that
they just voted on? Yeah, I mean, well,
no, I didn't.
California is just so they voted. I don't know how this got passed, but it was kind of the joke all day yesterday. But California voted for a higher gas tax, and they voted to keep the gas tax, and they gave the government permission to raise it whenever they wanted. It was, I don't know how that passed. People were so pissed. Like they just.
Well, how did SB 277 pass? When 430 different topic there, going back to them, but how did that pass? When more people than anybody else showed up to like fight that, more physical presence in the court showed up, and it still passed. I mean, things are rigged. It's not. I don't know. I try to tune out, like, not be too tuned in to TV and news.
Mm-hmm. To that. Yeah.
I find myself getting, like, wow, off kilter. Yeah.
That was one thing that was just – you know what? The thing is, I don't think people read through ballots, but I do believe also that there is some kind of, you know, being rigged, because if you look up any social media on just Senator Pan, he is so hated online. I mean – he is virtually he has like something like a measly 10,000 likes on his Facebook, and the people that do comment, that do support him, look at their profiles, and very like trolly type profiles, like they don't look
real.
You know. Then you have to wonder, wow, there were too many this time around too, there were so many parents that were out there telling people to vote for somebody else, the other guy, this guy, last name Frame, who was not so much anti-vaccine, but more for parental rights and choice. And it was just crazy to see the numbers. It was like, but he didn't win. It was like a 3% approval in the beginning for this, for Senator Pan. And within 30 minutes, it jumped and he like won. And everybody was just super confused. How did this guy win again? And then that's when you just felt so disheartened. It's such a sad time for California. But then again,
it's not Californians.
You know,
I should have said it. It's the people running it who are out of touch. It's not the people who live there. It's people who are running it. And the people who live there and just want their rights, right, like everybody else, and to be able to have the choice, the freedom to choose, that's the government, the state, the people running it, that you got to wonder why. Like, why are we that out of touch with ourselves that we want to enforce these, like, fascist-like things?
No, you're right.
Frustrating.
You're right.
Frustrating. I mean, I love I feel like the San Diegan blood in me will always run thick, and I will keep on coming back, and I've got my tribes there, friends, you know, family. And it's not the, I mean, the beach, there's reasons. And I think it's localized where you live. You can have, you know, more down to earth, holistic like communities than others. And it's a mindset. It's who you make your community, who you make your people. But, and that's needed, especially in times like this, right?
Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm so happy that you were able to find perfect location for you and your family, honestly.
Yeah. Well, likewise.
Because,
I mean, likewise. Of course, I would love for you to move to Portland. I know.
Right. I think,
well, more power to you, though. Look what you're doing. You're helping people. You're helping people. Even a show like this, anybody who is living there in California, you know, take this as ammo to vote, you know, speak up. Right? Like, message in the center. Even if you think it doesn't matter, it's not going to matter, at least you're paying, you're playing your part. You know, it's noteworthy.
At the very least.
The very least. Yeah.
Wow.
Gosh, I miss you. Gosh, I miss you. Freaking miss you so.
I miss you
how
too.
How long is the show? I'm like, how long is your radio hour?
Oh.
I think we said, what, like 20, 30 minutes we'd be on, and then we're just hogging it up.
Oh, you know what?
What time is it? 11:30?
I know, I haven't even checked the site. Oh, it looks like I have 20 minutes left.
Oh.
But,
lovely.
No, I mean, it's that's just how good the conversation
has
been
that
so far.
I love
yeah, we're those people.
The thing is, what's funny is I forget that this is even like a live radio. Just talking to you, almost forgetting at different points that, oh yeah, this is like a radio show. There are people are listening to this. And that is like our vibe. It's like that kindred soul thing. And I just, it's funny because Talia, like all, anytime you and I connect again, I'm like, Dave will get his ear talked off about it.
Like, I love her.
God, I love her. I miss her. Do you remember, I was pregnant. I think I was pregnant with Sophia, and we did, what was that? We did a wine talk.
We did a wine chat, yes, which I've gotten. No, wait.
I didn't know I was pregnant.
That one
I didn't know.
I removed that.
Did you
from
remove
YouTube,
it?
And
oh,
but
oh,
it's
funny.
So funny because all the talk was for the hour was how you and I were done with kids. We weren't having three. We were like content with we were content with the two kids.
I didn't know it.
Yes,
you
had no idea that you
too,
were already pregnant.
I didn't know.
Oh my gosh.
We were just at a birthday party on Sunday and one of the moms tells me, and you know, she had gone through a divorce as well like a couple years ago. Hers are little, and I'm finding what's interesting is how many people are you kind of gravitate going through some similar stuff. But anyway, she was looking at me and it's like, she didn't want to say it, but she was like, I mean, like, did you do that on purpose? You know, was that too? But I said, well, I'm like, not exactly. I guess I would say when I was younger, I always thought, I mean, there's four siblings of ours. And then my mom after us had another. So I have a half sister of five of us and my whole sister. I don't need to say half, but, it's like, basically, I always thought, yeah, I'm going to have a big family, lots of kids. And I feel like we just live in a different day and age right now. It's just not as easy as it probably was back then. Then again, I don't know, right? But anyway, she asked me that, and I'm like, well, no. But would we give her back? No. You know, like, that's not even in my equation. So we were at Disneyland, and you know, when you're at Disneyland, you see every family in the book there. And I'm just, you know, at this point, I think it had been like, we knew at this point, it was like, we had Hannah and Evelyn, and I'm like, okay, we're definitely done for sure. Like, I know I'm done. And I was good with it. I mean, we were really good with it. I used to nanny as well, like 5 years before having my own and two little girls who I fell in love with. And so I think we always kind of knew, like, we'll have two girls and we're going to be good. And so he hadn't gotten the procedure done. And at Disneyland, again, I didn't know that I was pregnant. But I was, like, looking at all these families, like three girls, four girls, five girls. I'm like, oh, there we are. There we are again. There we are. There we are. And he's like, I know. I got to get this done. I got to get the procedure. Well, it still took him, like, 6 months, but after we had her, right? However, so 5 days after Disneyland, my sister calls and – mind you, this was like two for two at this point. Her and I had both gotten pregnant. Hannah and then her daughter, Brylin, are a month apart. And we found out in one conversation. And then it's like the second time around. She had called me to tell me that, no, they didn't miscarry. They had been trying, right? And they went to the doctor. She thought she'd miscarried, but she didn't. So I'm like crying and I'm so happy for her. I'm just like over the moon. I hang up with her. I have this thought, what would be the odds in my head thinking that I was pregnant? And I'm like, no, like we're so religiously careful. There's no way. And then his mom calls and I'm just like, oh, my sister, they're not missing after all. And sweet Mila, she's here now. But anyway, so later on that night, it's like a Friday night and we typically did our, you know, date night at home thing, sushi, drinks after the kids go down. So I'm making myself a tequila, like a drink, and I go upstairs, and I'm
that's always what you want to make for yourself before you take a pregnancy test, right?
Like,
that's always.
What the hell? What is that? Yeah, like I would say all three of them. I was not plastered, but definitely had been drinking, like not realizing I was pregnant. But anyway,
yeah.
So I make myself a drink. I know. There we go again. This was all around the same time, Talia, because I think Disneyland was just like a couple days before or after that. But So I go up, I make myself a drink, and I'm like, why do I keep wanting to take a pregnancy test? Like, what the hell? And so I find two, like, expired Dollar Tree tests from Adeline. I mean, they're really old. And I'm just like, oh, whatever, you know, set my drink down, take it. It's like double.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Naomi, I'm going to cut you right there really quick. Okay, I am not going to judge you, but who buys pregnancy tests from the Dollar Tree?
They're just as good, and they're a dollar, okay? They are just as valid, and they're a dollar.
I'm actually, my mind is actually blown right now.
You can get 12 of them for the same price you get one. You can get 12 for the same price you get one, okay?
But the thing is, do you need to buy 12 to insure? Did they all come out correct?
I'm so intrigued right now.
I'm so intrigued.
They were like left over from Adeline's birth, right? Pregnancy or whatever. I just had like all these Dollar Tree tests. And you know, here's the thing, especially when you're trying to get pregnant, you're like, I don't know, I guess. And here's another thing, no matter how much money I ever make in life, I will live, I'll live within my means, and I just don't
know that about you. And
I'm
that's the thing, I was a big spender. I didn't even want to point that out to people. Yeah, you are definitely not that person that a $30 pregnancy test would have spent. Like,
But I shop at Dollar Tree for like, you know, decorations and things like that. So why not grab a couple Dollar Tree tests? Anyway,
I'm so intrigued. That just blew my mind for a second. Okay, but yeah, then great.
Funny.
So you took at least two.
FYI, anybody who's like, you know, trying to penny pinch and they're not sure if they're pregnant, just go to the Dollar Tree. They're just as good. So I took, and it's expired, right? So I take, this is like, he's getting ready to go get our sushi and all that. And I'm like, okay, so I'm upstairs, put my drink down. I take the test. It's instantly two double pink bright lines. And I'm like, okay, faulty test for sure. And so I take another one, even though it's expired as well. I take another test, and it's, like, double lines again. I send a picture to my sister. She's like, holy shit. I'm like, I know. He's going to freak. So I don't tell him right away. I was just like, you know what? Let me go get our sushi. And I, you know, I'll be back. You get the kids down. I could get out of the house right now. I need to. And
oh,
so
my
I'm
gosh. Wait, so I love this.
Like
so first of all, the drink of choice is tequila. And then right after, you're like,
tequila.
I'm going to go get sushi.
Yeah.
I love you.
For sure.
I feel better, by the way. You know that I waited 10 weeks to take the pregnancy test. I think when it's your third, you're just denial going on there.
Right?
Yeah, I waited 10 weeks.
Like a belly. You're like, no, I'm not pregnant. Like 3 months
well, that's
long.
It. No.
Just burritos,
yeah, there was no,
you know.
There was no spell. I was like, that's Thanksgiving. I literally, I'm like, I just haven't, my body hasn't processed Thanksgiving food yet. I just was in so much denial
at the time. Blame it on the turkeys.
Yeah, I was like, it's stress. It's all of that. And same. It's that third child thing.
I love
it. So,
it is.
Well, yeah,
well,
so you told him.
Like,
you told him, and I think you called me right
after.
Okay. Like, you called me shortly
after. It was literally after, like, I took the drive. I go to Rite Aid, right? I get one of the ones that they're like, okay, I actually spent $13 on a test this time around. And it was, like, the plus or minus one. And I'm still on the phone with my sister at this point. I go straight to the bathroom. I take it. And I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of fainted. She's like, Naomi, that's the third test you've taken. And at that point, you know, your HCG levels are not exactly, like, you can't just keep peeing and expect to get, like, bold, you know. So I was like, okay. So I get in line, and I have this empty box, and I'm, like, put it on the counter. Fred, he's, like, in his 60s, the Rite Aid worker. He gives me this little, like, smirk and, like, look.
You remember
his name. There is, like, a long line behind me. Oh, I'll never forget his name. He goes to me, and he's looking at the box, and he looks at me and does this little smirk thing.
I'm like, don't act like you have never seen this before, okay? And he's like, I just don't understand why you women can't wait till you get home. Of course, I'm like, well, let me tell you why, because we have two little girls at home already, and that's probably the third. I was like, he's going to freak. And he's like, well, if it's a boy, you know you'll name him Fred. And that's why I remember that, because he was like, make sure you'll name him Fred. And I was like, okay, if I have a boy, I guess his name is Fred. Anyway, and get home, Dave, it's like that typical commercial, right? First, second kid, third kid. And the girls are down. We're like, I'm eating my Pseudomonas salad and just going at it. He sits down and he's about to take his first bite. I'm like, you want to hear something crazy? He's like, what? I'm like, we're pregnant. He's like, three times. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. And I was like, yeah, I'll give you a second with that. And he's just freaked, like I knew he would. He freaked. He's like, love, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Like, well, we're gonna have a third child.
<that's>
that.
What?
And she was
exactly.
The worst. Literally the worst. I threw up the whole pregnancy on the labor table. She is my leech baby. She's a Cancer too, so my feeler, my super feeler, but amazing in so many ways, of course. But I had to wear this kid for
like with all of your children.
I mean, in bed, literally everything I did, dishes, like 3 months. I remember sometimes I'd have to put her in the car seat, and I had that postpartum. I did. Like, I had a level of postpartum with Sophia, and on top of that, that's when my channel was opening up. I was having a whole lot of more paranormal things happen, which ended up really worrying a lot of people. And I think coming out of that now, finally, like that residual, it's like, okay, I think she's okay. And I am. The thing is, I really am. It was really challenging for a while there, really challenging. And I felt alone, and I felt like I was trying to put on my happy face for the world. You know, you kind of just bottle up everything else like hot sauce, you know, until it's just burning so bad inside. And you're like, I can't do this. You're just falling apart at the seams. And I think that so many people don't, you know, we don't give enough credit to that and how difficult it really is, you know, for a mother, especially for a mother, not to say that, you know, dads don't have their equal share of their own version of struggle with it. But the third really, I'm not going to say that. And even with her, it's like, I've been asked, are you sure it's not Sophia? She didn't break you guys in and like make this happen, like as far as the split. But the reality is we were just for years, even before that, we were growing apart in other ways. And even if they did throw you over, even if that you felt like that was the reason, right? It's like, you're not just, I don't believe that, you know, souls come to us because they're meant to us. They're meant for us, you know? And I look at Sophia like God, universe, creator, you know, decided, had to have decided, and our higher selves, hers, mine, that, I call her my refinement baby, my karma baby, because literally I was like laughing about pregnant with her. Like that. And being like, no, you know, we're done. But I also feel like there's something so incredibly, and she's brilliant. I mean, she's just brilliant and so silly and sweet and then just sassy and crazy sometimes. But it's like there's something just so remarkable and unique about her. And it's just, and all of them, all three of them, they're special in their own ways. But it's like, she really is my refinement child. Like, God's like, okay, you think you're done. Like, let's see what you're made of here. And that's a refinement.
Well, you know, Lovely, they have she had a purpose. She had a purpose, and so did all of your kids.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. Yeah. And you just have birthed this sweet little Enzo. I cannot wait to hold him. He's the cutest stinking thing. And how are you doing? As a mom now,
I think we lucked out with the spacing, which it obviously wasn't planned, the third, but the spacing really helped because Amelia is such a little mama. You know, she
is so good.
She is so good. And she's my Cancer, you know. She's so good with Enzo. I mean, she just,
I miss
she
her.
She just wants to pick him up all the time, and, you know, she's great. So she's a big help, obviously. Sebastian's kind of useless, but he's like, he
well,
has maybe like
Hannah,
a 3 minutes.
Yeah, the middle kid's just like,
yeah. He's like, oh, okay, Ma. You know, he's like,
baby.
Whereas Amelia's like, give me that baby.
Totally.
So, but, you know.
That's so Hannah. Oh, my gosh, yes. If they could be us, they would. It's like, Hannah, she could be mommy.
Yeah. Then she's kind of like,
feeling...
Ma, I don't need you. I don't need you.
Totally.
How am I feeling?
And
that is
a
loaded question.
Talk about you.
That's
a loaded question. Grab a tequila. Just
kidding. Right. Is it too early
we'll
for
all
I mean,
the
I'm in Vegas. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm all when in Vegas. That's my new.
When in Vegas.
You know, He's actually a really, really good baby, and clearly, you know, he's only a few months old, and I'm able to still do quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
but it's not been easy. It's a little, it gets a little lonely sometimes. That's why I figured, but he probably thinks I talk to myself all day long at this point, this little boy. She just talks to herself all day.
We'll definitely
have to catch up on that more.
Yes. I know. Maybe
it's
I'll
not,
try it in live radio.
Right. I was like,
tell me everything.
There's a lot more to say.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I keep forgetting we're on live radio.
You're like, Talia, just let it out.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you. I don't disclose everything. There's not some things you can say without saying. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So
I feel
it's
hard though.
We are all just hanging in there, aren't we? A little bit.
Yes. Embracing it all.
So,
I mean, it's funny when Pluto shows up in my readings, I'm always like, okay, somebody here has got to learn to embrace the darker side of things. Sassy and just shadowy and just it's part of what we are and our experiences and what we're all here to kind of learn in that very physical way. You know, your spirit's just having this physical experience and it's something we'll carry with us into infinity. And you know,
and I do believe there's a shift happening and a huge shift that's happening between
absolutely
just in our all across today. I just feel like there are more and more people that are being completely turned off of being turned on all the time. And I find myself missing who I was before having to check in and care about a million of these things that I never cared about before. And so definitely having somebody like you in my life to just remind me of like the simplicity of like you're on a nature walk right now and it's like you're on the phone with a friend. You know, how many of us don't even want to get on the phone and talk to people for more than 5 minutes? It's like when your phone rings, we're so quick to just send a voicemail. What do they want? Text me. You know, but I
my girlfriends
like,
know that's
I'm
not what
longing.
You get with me. You definitely get the hours.
No.
Wait.
Well, I love that because it's so different nowadays. And I need that now. I find myself like I need to even just have a handful. I've always
connection.
Only needed a handful. You
know,
real connection with somebody. And
absolutely.
And, you know, I've got that in you. And I'm obviously now subscribed to your channel, and I love that some of your videos start, or like the one I watched the other day, I'm like, wow, this one seems like to be a longer video, but I love how it just started.
They're long.
Dancing
I have
to singing
comment on
to
that. Yeah, for sure. Taurus, was that
with
Taurus
a glass
or?
Of wine, and I was like, I
oh yeah,
her.
I was Taurus. Pull up a seat and pour yourself a glass. No, you know what it is? I'm connecting with the energies. When I'm doing these readings, it's kind of like I'm connecting with people's energy, and I feel it. And there is a very there's a signature in that. And what it is, what I'm realizing, because I'm switching it up. I'm probably going to keep on doing Universe Has Your Back cards. I'll pull those. I'll pull, like, notes from the universe. And I want to gear less towards, like if you want a personal love reading, that's great. I can keep pulling those cards and see, okay, who are you dealing with? What's the story here? But it's more about the talks. I think Tarot is kind of like the added addition to the talk. Because I tend to feel like there's, like, a general message for people. And it's like I find myself like this. Like, we've been on the phone for what? You know, you just – sometimes you need that. It's therapeutic. It's therapeutic to relate, to connect, to understand that you're not the only one, you know. And we all have a song to sing. We all have a story to tell. We all have – you know, this sometimes this very similar energy that we're being influenced by, and it's just an outlet. And sometimes even doing these videos, what I realize is like they are for me. I can say, oh, this is not for me. I'm doing this for everybody else. But no, I wouldn't do something, first of all, if I didn't find like a joy and fulfillment in it. I just wouldn't. It's not who I am. So it's not to say that. I would do it for long enough before I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Inevitably, though, it's all about being true and authentic to what your passions are, getting in touch with your soul. I started writing again. I mean, literally, I was woken up in the middle of the night by spirit. Like, I kind of, some of the darker things I've gone through in the last 2 years, I've kind of pushed away and off to the side, and I didn't really want to face because I want to be pippy and happy and positive for people. But the reality is we can't ignore those things either. And sometimes the perfect outlet is to like turn on your camcorder and just be like, look, is anybody else going through this? Because I'm literally tuning into this energy. I feel it sentiently. I feel it. So this is for somebody. Yeah. It could be just for one person, but it's for somebody. Otherwise I wouldn't be doing it. And spirit's not just sitting there giving me like misleading, you know, if it's literally for nobody. So whether somebody gives me feedback or not, you know, like I had my cousin respond. She sent me a message because just it's like after Leo's reading, man, I don't know what's going on, but it's like I'll feel those the heaviness or emotions or something for people.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, wait,
like,
Naomi,
I'm like,
Naomi.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, Naomi, no, sorry, I don't want to cut you off. It's gonna boot me off here because this show's out. But I'm gonna definitely give you a call right back. But. Thank you so much for coming on, and you're going to have to come on again in the future, promise.
For sure. For sure. I
love
you so much. I'm going to talk to you in 2 seconds from now. Bye, everybody.
Yes, I know. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.